Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
It's a real problem.
Ezekiel, have you lived back here, or at least back here closer?
Yeah.
Do you know where we would be tonight?
Where would we be?
Do you want to know where we'd be?
Where?
We'd be at a Journey concert.
What?
Yep.
Where are they playing at?
They're playing in Detroit, Rock City.
Yeah. No, they got that Filipino lead singer who sounds exactly like the old guy. Yeah.
Yeah, we'd be at Journey.
Yep. We'd be on a journey. I wish I knew more than one of their songs.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
And next Saturday, Cole, we could be at the Zac Brown Band.
Who the fuck is Zac Brown?
He has a band. Okay. That's one thing I know about him.
All right. The picture is being fleshed out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. You know, when people say, wow, he's just an all around, you know, well-rounded, nice guy.
They're not talking about his physical shape.
I'm not talking about Zach.
No.
He's all real, about the band.
He's real specialized. It's his focus.
Big time.
At the expense of a lot of other things.
Right.
The fuck is Zach Brown? Huh.
And like most focused people, his mom misses him.
So it's a country band based out of Hotlanta, I am led to believe.
Hotlanta.
Artists with whom they have collaborated include Alan Jackson, Jimmy Buffett, Kid Rock, Amos Lee, String Cheese Incident, Trombone Shorty, Joey, plus Rory, Jason Mraz, Dave Grohl, Chris Cornell, and Avicii, God rest his soul.
Do you want to go see OTEP?
Who is OTEP, Chris?
I think it's heavy metal, man.
Are you looking on your ticket site?
Something called Caged Thunder.
That's a dick pill.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Uncaged Thunder.
It's a no boner underwear.
It is a Church of Latter-day Saints approved. That's an easy joke. I feel bad about that.
Or then the last one here is the NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys DJ Battle Night. Hold on. Maybe I said that wrong. The NSYNC versus Backstreet Boys DJ Battle Night.
Is it a question?
No, it's a club dance mix night.
No, I
where DJs battle one another.
I get it.
With knives.
Just attached to the turntables. Like it's fucking Ben-Hur.
There's eight people in the room. There's eight bayonets in the bucket. One of those bayonets is plastic.
Oh shit.
Oh no.
Yeah, we call that Baltic roulette.
Do we?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Is that where we fought World War I?
Maybe.
I don't think we fought
it. It's like Eastern Europe.
We fought it in the Vulcans.
Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
Episode number 230?
Yes.
Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids. I know this because we're recording back-to-back episodes, and Cole just less than 45 minutes ago told me that the last episode was one less than what I just said.
Yeah. Your name is?
I'm Chris.
My name is Cole. And we're here to entertain your asses. It's always hard. It's always hard doing the second one because it's like we get a lot of the dicking around out of the way.
Yeah, the second episode, that's when we get to the meat of it, you know?
Yeah, we're focused. And
that's when we get worldly.
Our brains are honed at that point. We have found a line, I think. Usually, anyway.
I also found a line in the story.
Okay.
So Facebook has been in a lot of trouble, I guess.
Based on the advertisement that they're doing?
It seems like they're doing a good job.
Yeah. Every single time I'm exposed to advertisement, it's like, Facebook, Wells Fargo, we want you to trust us again. No, we won't. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Refounded 28. Fuck you.
I'll go to counseling. I promise it'll never happen again.
Yeah. Continue.
Yeah, Facebook, so they're in trouble. Yeah. And there's a newspaper that tried to put up the Declaration of Independence over the 4th of July holiday, and Facebook's algorithm flagged the Declaration of Independence as being hate speech.
Okay.
Specifically, I think the merciless Indian savages part.
Is that a line from the Declaration of Independence?
It's not one I learned.
I mean, everybody.
But it's there.
Huh.
Completely unrelated to, it's just in there.
Right. Like that was just part of the draft and they forgot to, it was a fine replace.
It's just like, and it's in the text. It's not like written in the margin in Sharpie.
Huh. No, you're absolutely right.
Merciless, yeah. Indian savage.
He has excited domestic insurrections amongst us and has endeavored to bring on the inhabitants of our frontiers, the merciless Indian savages, whose known rule of warfare is an undistinguished destruction of all ages, sexes, and conditions. Cool, Tommy. Hey, Tommy, how's it going, bud? Hi. Got a message for you from about 250 years in the future. What the fuck?
So I just couldn't think of a better example of where we're at as a country right now than this.
It was definitely the case. I need to remember who it was. It was like a presidential library or something like that. That just one day, something, you know, like about like a year ago, maybe, or 500 years ago, who knows? Trump was president, but they started tweeting out.
Shit. Time seems to have stopped, but go ahead.
they started tweeting out the Declaration of Independence line by line, right? And people started, like, the, you know, MAGA chuds and what have you started latching onto it, saying, like, you know, fuck this progressive SJW bullshit. What are you doing? Why are you criticizing Trump? Like, blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, this is like we're literally just celebrating the Declaration of Independence by tweeting it out. I need to figure out who it was, because that's a very important. Oh, it's NPR. Okay, so this was last year around July 4th. This is from the Washington Post. Some Trump supporters thought NPR tweeted propaganda. It was the Declaration of Independence. So people just started knee-jerk reacting, not recognizing what the source was.
Yeah, and that's my point.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's just another flavor of the same thing from a different
you're
angle.
You're appreciating, you know, that there's the appreciation of the progress,
right?
And then there's the we want to turn back time.
I mean, if we could find a way,
if we could, but we can't. That's the thing. And Cher knew that then. We know that still today,
right?
You can't do it. So I just thought it was interesting. You know, I mean, as good as the AI is, it might be at killing us,
Norman,
or seeing us dead,
right?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think it's broken.
Tragic mower accident.
I think we gave people too much information.
So here's the thing. I think that what we have is marketing that is far more advanced than the actual product, which is always the case, right? But I think that we're being sold the power of the algorithm, and it is far dumber than any of us are prepared to accept at this point. And so anytime something fucks up, anytime it fails or falls short of our expectations, there's a tremendous amount of dissonance, because we have been told that we're further along than we actually are.
Right.
And all of it goes down to trying to solve societal problems, like, hey, maybe cool it with the hate speech a little bit, maybe, you know, just yeah. maybe.
But then listen to some of those people and then I think, okay, well, no, I don't know what to trust and I don't know which way is up. And then you see something like the Thai boys in the cave.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they had a plan, the community came together, they, you know, it all worked out, but all the catastrophizing in order to sensationalize the situation
mm-hmm.
puts me in doubt now of how dangerous that was. And because of that, you know, that catastrophizing, mm-hmm. I can't help but wonder how much other stuff is not what it seems.
Yeah.
Or as serious as it seems.
No, and I think
what do we freak out about? And when, you know, in the absence of knowing what to freak out about, I think you just freak out about everything until you freak out about nothing. Yeah, until you freak out for the last time because the cops are shooting you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
It makes my head spin.
Yeah. Well, and then like the second level of that is stopping, looking at it and thinking, okay, we exist in a state of perpetual doubt, you know, because, you know, the literal notion of truth is eroding, you know, the beam is about to snap, right? Who is positioned to take advantage of that, of that state of doubt, of the fact that nothing can be trusted? Who is going to gain from keeping it that way as long as possible?
Who?
I don't know. It makes me paranoid.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me paranoid is what it does.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Paranoid.
That's very serious though. Cool.
Yeah. Oh, geez.
Hey, oh boy. I got a plug. If anybody has not yet watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, including Cole, if you have not done this, the Jerry Lewis episode.
Oh yeah.
Ah, do yourself a favor. What a treat.
What, is he held together with bolts and leather straps at this point?
No, he was on point. He was snapping, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was good.
The only episode of that I've seen is the Gary Shanley one. And that was just shortly after his death. That was going around as a, like, a, hey, you know, this is one of the last things he did. Go and watch.
Is Jerry killing people?
I think he is. Wait, is Jerry Lewis dead?
Yeah.
When did he die?
That episode was that filming or whatever was camera. The last time he was on camera.
He died on camera. Yeah.
Oh, Jerry, it was good.
Jerry Seinfeld said, hey, can you wait here? I need to go. I need to go
murder you.
Yeah. And then he just T-boned it with a semi.
My bad.
Good comedians in the grill of this car.
Mm-hmm.
Leaking coffee out of the side of them. Is that on like what, Netflix or something?
Yeah, it's on Netflix now.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, just that up. I guess I'd never really, you know, seen Jerry Lewis as anything other than a joke.
Yeah.
You know, just out of not, you know. But yeah. Anyway,
that biography about him, King of Comedy, is really good.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that's what it was about.
Yeah, it is. He was fucking unhinged in the 70s when he was running with the Brat Pack. And not Brat Pack. He wasn't. It was Jerry Lewis and Rob Lowe. They brought it back.
Matt Dillon.
Uh-huh.
Christian Slater.
Yeah.
Who all was in the Brat Pack?
I don't know. I feel like if I look that up, I think that's like it's like the Avengers. I think that it's just a lot of people. Oh, maybe there's one of those charts on Wikipedia that says like member of this group from like 1985 to 92, then they were replaced.
But, Brat Pack actors.
Huh? Brat Pack actors. Ooh. Emilio Estevez, Anthony Michael Hall. Oh, now this is just the cast of The Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Rob Lowe, Andrew McCarthy, Demi Moore, what are you doing here? Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, Ali Sheedy. It literally is just The Breakfast Club.
I think Wikipedia is wrong.
Yeah. Now and then there are close contributors, like the Outsiders is a vector for that, and that's how you get C. Thomas Howell in there. What are you doing here, C. Thomas Howell? Ugh. starring Soul Man. Ridiculous.
Can't tell you, but yeah. I do have to keep this as close. This in, yeah, I got to get this in, Cole.
Okay.
Up in Michigan, on Dove Lane, a neighbor put notes on another on the other neighbor's houses in a development that said, "I work a 4 a.m. to 2 p.m. shift Monday through Friday. And last year, there was a very loud and obnoxious amount of fireworks being blown off pretty close to your house. Until nearly midnight, it began." They also wrote, "I don't care who had the party or lights the fireworks this year. I will make yours and your neighbors' lives miserable for days and months to come. In fact, if any fireworks go off after 9 p.m. any day this week, I will make your lives on Dove Lane insanely miserable." One neighbor posted their note on Facebook, which led to the organizing of a massive block party.
Yeah. Guess what? We're going to see if you're serious. How about this?
Yep.
See, that's your fault. Like if you leave a passive aggressive, now you deserve whatever comes to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was the takeaway? They had a block party. I assume it was a banger because it was fueled by spite.
It was a good, yeah. Police were not called.
Okay.
Aside from the threats, and then the threats were not substantiated.
Right. Right. You know,
so there's really not much more to the story other than
that note, that fucking unhinged note.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That led to the most epic block party.
Oh, of course.
Likes of which you'd have to watch the Wonder Years to recall.
You would have to watch Dave Chappelle's Block Party to recall.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No, please don't.
Oh. You never know what to trust. We exist in perpetual doubt, but you can always go back to tried and true, the formula. People getting in trouble for ridiculous things, specifically in Florida. It's a little bit cliche, but sometimes you got to go back, see what's going on. Right.
Same stuff.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. It's in Putnam County, Florida. Got a guy. His name is Douglas Peter Kelly. So he's definitely got the,
who'd he kill?
Exactly. Thank you. Yep. No, he's not assassinated anybody yet, but I think, you know what? He hasn't earned his middle name. Fuck you. Okay. Anyway. So, he purchased some go powder. He purchased, some go rocks, some crystal meth, which is a problem. 49-year-old, and he had a bad reaction to it. It was not necessarily the clean high. It didn't bring him the clarity that he was expecting. Mm. Just something seemed fishy. Maybe they cut it with something he was allergic to. He was not getting what he needed. So he wanted action, and he wanted to make sure. And well, who has facilities to figure this out, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what he did was he called the cops. He called them saying, "Hey, I need you to test this. I had a bad reaction. I want to press charges against the person who sold me this drug last week." So the cops, what they did, figuring, "Hey, we didn't even have to bait the hook. We didn't even have to cast it in the water." He just jumped into the boat and said, "Yeah, sure. No, we got a lab. We've got a dude in a coat. We have goggles. Come on over here, and we'll test that right away." So we brought in some meth wrapped up in tin foil. That was definitely meth. And he was put in jail on $2,500 bond. So, let's turn it to this though. Did he earn his middle name?
I don't think he did.
No.
No. I think you got to make an incredible shot.
You have to. You have to leave a mark on the world.
A miracle effort, or body count.
Right. Yeah. You have to. Yeah. Like people have to. It's hard enough to remember a first name, first and last. A little tricky. if you're going to expect people to know three names,
but honestly,
you gotta be bringing some heat, man.
If you think about it, I know Kip Kinkle and Dylan Dylan Harris and Eric Klebold and Timothy McVeigh and, you know Lee Harvey Oswald, whatever. You know what I mean? You know all those people's names.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the name of the Vegas shooter?
No.
Can you tell me the name of the San Bernardino shooter?
No. The most recent one that I can tell you is Dylan Roof, and that was in 2015.
Can you tell me the whatever nightclub in Orlando?
No.
Right? Yeah. So what I want to know is, because I can't tell you them either, is it that we're doing a better job of not sensationalizing these guys? Or are we just desensitized to it and so it no longer sticks out in our mind?
I mean, the answer to any question where you have two options is a little bit of both. I'm going to say the latter. I would say yeah, but like, no, there definitely is an effort and a good one to stop putting people's names up on the high scoreboard. Right.
I guess what I'm trying to say is that the infrastructure that we set up as a culture and as a society to tell us whether someone has earned their names or not is out of order.
Right. Well, it's outdated. It's outdated, so because really it moves too fast.
Yeah.
You know,
I can't really tell you.
Okay. I remember the home run race between Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire.
Okay.
Remember Mark McGwire running away with that. But that's the last one, because like that was the first time that record had been broken in a long time. And then immediately like a bunch of people kept on coming on and, you know, like re-upping it. Like, it's notable when it's the first time it's happened in like 10 years. But then when it keeps on happening, it becomes a little bit less special. Now I need to see home run record.
Now I need to see home run Jesus.
Barry Bonds holds the major league. Okay. Yeah, he passed Hank Aaron in 2007. Okay, so it's still Barry Bonds. I guess that makes sense. I know Barry Bonds' name.
Right.
Yeah.
You're good at that.
Hit some dingers.
Hit a dinger for me.
Yeah, I forget. So that was my story with the methamphetamine. You got a story for me, Chris?
Yeah, I do, I suppose. I just don't know what I want it to be. Here's a story that I didn't read.
Cool. Oh, man. All right, go ahead.
I'm not going to tell you that one.
Okay.
All right, I'm going to tell you this one. Mourner is around somewhere in Washington, D.C., showed up at a Catholic church to pay the respects for a guy named, or lady, I guess, named Agnes. During the entire thing and before the actual funeral, the priest ended up telling the entire funeral party to get the hell out of the church.
Get the hell out.
Yes, get the hell out. Reverend Michael Breeze and a group standing next to the casket. Breeze said that before funeral mass began, the priest said, one of the guests in the church damaged a sacred chalice.
He said it made
his frustration boil over. He uttered words that he never uses and treated people he's lived with and committed his life to.
Sure. To serve. Come on. In an
unacceptable, guilty manner.
Yeah.
So he actually told them to get the hell out and then followed through. He pointed to the casket and told them to get that thing out of his church.
You are not welcome. That carries meaning too. Oh, when you're told to get out, like, you don't come back.
Ooh. No.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a corpse, you know?
Yeah, that's a thing.
So they ended up having like a shotgun funeral down the road.
A shotgun.
Oh, And the Archdiocese of the area has placed this priest on leave as they probe what they're calling a, quote, serious misunderstanding.
Well, it's been a hell of a cup. Where was this at?
What was that? Was that like Randy Quaid's blurb on the back of Two Girls, One Cup?
Must have been
a hell of a cup.
I just wanted to find a way to not say chalice again, because we said chalice a little bit.
Oh, God. Randy Quaid. It's a blurb on the back of...
I'm just etched into the rim of the Holy Grail.
I guess.
Must have been a hell of a cup.
Must have been a hell of a cup.
Yeah. Huh. No, see, that's the thing, right? If you have to call off a funeral, all you got to do is take it down to a music festival, put it up on its end, and hope that people mistake it for a porta potty long enough for you to get away.
Okay.
Yeah. That's fine. It's a little bit of slapstick, a little bit of funeral humor.
Does he walk silly?
The corpse?
Like, yeah, is he on strings?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Not like a Weekend at Bernie's kind of thing. More like a real macabre kind of Muppet kind of deal.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Got a story for you here. That's more of a PSA.
Okay.
We like to stay on top of things here. Keep plugged into what's going on the internet, especially with young people, Fortnite and whatnot.
I don't know what that is.
So it's a popular video game for middle schoolers.
Really?
It's like the new Minecraft, except a lot of shooting and killing and stuff.
I understand there's dancing.
Yes, I think you can dance.
Okay.
Yeah. No. So this is.
Oh, I just came.
What? I think you can dance. It's the first time you ever heard that.
What?
I think you can dance.
No. Just at the idea that, you know, you take Minecraft and add dancing, that's got to be pretty good.
Yeah, no, just you got some.
Got to be a real blockbuster.
Yeah. Well, I don't want somebody to walk. Yeah, you know, we need to equip people. I don't want them walking around getting into a conversation where somebody is referencing BDE and not know what it means. Okay. So, Chris, do you know what BDE is?
No.
BDE is shorthand for big dick energy.
Nuh-uh.
Yes. So
this is kind of straw do you get that out of?
You gotta buy it for a vending machine. Yeah. So this is a thing that popped up after the tragic and untimely death of Anthony Bourdain. Somebody tweeted the following phrase: "We're talking about how Anthony Bourdain had big dick energy, which is what he would have wanted." Okay, and now it has become a meme. It has become a shorthand. Essentially, you know, you look at somebody and say, "Oh, that guy's got big dick energy." Like,
are you sure it's not dig?
Nope, it's big dick energy. I think maybe somebody tried to soften it up.
Okay,
yeah, you know, I think somebody was really trying to, you know, just get it past the sensors, right? But no, it's like it is the certain way that a person carries themselves. It's a force that they exude.
John Hamm.
Yeah, when they got a big dick and they don't necessarily have to know it. And people have been people have been rushing to define BDE, and it's really been a real conversation. You know, there's been other. There's been other words for this. You know, this is not a new concept. You have things like swagger, right? Like as opposed to swag. You have things like confidence, I think, is another one. Like, oh, okay. But you can have too much confidence, right? I think that it is uncoupled necessarily. Yeah. You got mojo, baby. Yeah.
I think there's also a place within big dick energy for like Tim Robbins' character in Bull Durham.
Yeah, I think that Tim Robbins' character in Bull Durham, you could definitely say that he is like probably like type 2 big dick energy.
Okay. So what is that? Like, is that like fast twitch?
Yes, that he has fast twitch BDE. Okay. FTBDE.
Okay. Oh. You wanted a title, right?
Thank you. It had been a little bit. I was getting scared.
I know. And have that one moment.
Yeah, you just know it. You feel it. You feel it coming.
You know it is.
In the air tonight. Yeah, so I just want you to be aware of that. Again, if you walk in, like if you hear your kid talking about BDE, you know, you know that, you know.
BDE.
BDE.
Oh, I slept so good last night.
Whew. I feel like I've got more BDE than I'm usually walking around with.
What if there was just like a bar above your head?
Like you're a fucking Sim.
Showed your BDE. Your BDE levels.
Yeah. Get it tested. You know, it's like just repurpose some love testers. Yeah.
Doctor, I believe his BDE has been depleted and he's gone septic.
Oh, you got a story?
I do. There's a 47-year-old guy who was actually Colombian. Might be a relative of a listener or something. Anyway, he decided that he was going to pretend like he was a Saudi Arabian prince.
Carrying a falcon around?
And mostly falconry and robes.
Okay.
And so he had worked. I mean, he's got all kinds of different business deals and stuff going. And then he's looking at like $1 million real estate. And so he has a meeting with a real estate broker as Sultan bin Khalid Al Saud.
Ooh, that's stealing valor.
At a resort hotel on Miami Beach.
Did he accidentally pick a name of somebody who was on a watch list?
No, I don't know where the name came from. I suppose it's probably how you say Big Mac backwards. I don't know. Right. But the real estate agent, broker, whatever, shelled out like $50,000 in luxury gifts to try to court this Saudi prince's business.
Right.
And then the guy got really suspicious because they had a meal together in which the guy scarfed down plates of bacon and sausage.
Oh, that's a rookie mistake right there.
Oh.
Whew. Yeah.
No carnitas.
Yeah, no, that's a whew.
You gotta do your pre-con, son.
Yeah. you gotta scope the sitch.
Jesus, that's fundamental.
Day one, bro. Okay,
you think there'd be a movie if Mrs. Doubtfire had her cock out?
This has been Those Damn Roskits.
That's it. Cole, you going to tell them what they can do?
Yes, I can. Oh, man, do a search. I don't know what it's called, but type the following into Google, which is Mrs. Doubtfire trailer recut drama. And it is an edit of the Mrs. Doubtfire trailer to make it look like a suspense kind of thing, you know, where a psychotic dad is trying to get near his kids the best he, basically the plot of Mrs. Doubtfire except with creepy music. No, what they can do, go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv, check out what we have on offer there, help support the network, do a couple of things there, you know. Otherwise, tell your friends about the show and leave a rating or a review if you can. I'm going to go, I think. Chris, did I forget anything?
I think you got it.
Sorry, America.
Sorry.